This episode of Two People is brought to you by Village Bank. Now, if you live in Richmond, you may have heard of Village Bank, but you might not know much more. Well, let me just say, once you talk with the folks at a branch or you work with a business banker, you'll see that there's more going on than products and rates. It's about people, and Village Bank gets that. So whatever you want to build, whether it's your business or your life, the good people at Village Bank can help you get there. Because they're more than bankers. They're problem solvers and business builders, and they're community leaders. They care about Richmond and the people who live here. And since they're a bank, I'm required to say that they are member FDIC, equal housing lender. Village Bank, you're a neighbor, not a number. I want you to meet Ross. Now, Ross Catro is a guy with a passion for public transportation.
We're at my bus stop. This is my personal bus stop.
The day is June 25th, 2018. And today, for the first time ever, Ross will set foot on the Pulse. That's Richmond's new bus rapid transit system. And given all the changes to the bus system in Richmond that happened this summer, I thought, you know what would be great? It would be fantastic to experience that change through the eyes of a person who lives it and breathes it. And that person is Ross Catro. For some background, Ross works for RVA Rapid Transit, meaning he advocates for public transportation as his job. That much is true. But you know how some people are really into a thing and they just happen to get a job doing that thing? Well, that's Ross. He loves what he does and he's excitable. So, for example, Ross is really amped up about a new amenity to his bus stop.
We got a cool new bench. I don't know if you see this bench. Someone just dropped off a gorilla bench by our bus stop. It is made of wood. It looks very like handcrafted, as if someone spent a lot of care and time building this bench. We had no bench before, so this is a great amenity that someone cared enough to drop off.
Today on the show, if you haven't figured it out already, you get to ride the bus with Ross Catro. It's a nice day. The sun is beaming. It's a little warm.
Wear your hats. Stay hydrated. It'll be fine.
You're listening to Two People, and today on the show, Ross rides the bus. To start, a bit of context, and it would be best for you to hear it from Ross.
How do we get to where we are today?
Lots of people working lots of hard work, as they say. Lots of people working lots of hard work. Probably the kickoff was winning the federal Tiger Grant. So Richmond City won a $25 million federal grant for the Pulse.
And was that competitive?
Super competitive. They only give out like very few per year, and that program has been ended under Trump. So we won this thing, and then suddenly it was like, oh, we have this money to do this amazing public transportation thing. So that kind of kicked off this advocacy work, design work, construction work. And then we won money from the state to redesign all of the other bus routes. So if the Pulse is in the middle of Broad Street, in the middle of the city as the spine, we really need to tie in all the other routes in an intelligent way. And it all opened yesterday, like just the whole thing, the new Pulse, the new bus redesign, everything, boom.
Years of planning, lots of people working lots of hard work. So the Pulse goes right down Broad Street. That's totally new. But we also redrew all of the bus lines in the entire city. Most of those lines, just for some context, have not been touched in like 50 years plus, and a lot of the routes actually derive from the streetcar days here in Richmond. So, a long time ago. Today, we're sitting at Ross's bus stop. It's a Monday morning, and the Pulse just opened the day before. Ross tried to ride it on that Sunday that it opened, but he couldn't. There were too many people. So I asked him, you know, were you disappointed or what?
I think it's great. It's amazing. Like, what a great problem to have. Too many people riding the bus on a Sunday. That's great. That's the best present ever.
After waiting a few minutes sitting there on the bench, we catch his bus. It's the number one. It is a non-Pulse bus. And we head downtown. We're headed to see the big kickoff ceremony with the governor and the mayor at the Maggie Walker Plaza, which has become a bit of a community gathering place. How do you feel about the Maggie Walker Plaza?
I love it. I think it is the de facto gathering place for civics. Let's have all of our cool things there. Got a cool thing? Come to Maggie Walker.
And as we're walking up to the plaza, I ask Ross what we might expect from the event.
In my dream, Mayor Stoney drives a bus through like a big cutout, a sheet of paper, and like bursts through the paper. And that inaugurates the Pulse.
Like a civic Kool-Aid man.
Oh, yeah, exactly like that.
Unfortunately for us, that does not happen, although it would have been amazing to be sure. But when we get there, the plaza is filled with people waiting for the big ribbon cutting. Ross is kind of hobnobbing with the transit folks. We see Reverend Ben Campbell. He's the guy that's written books about Richmond and has advocated for public transit. And Ben is wearing a black shirt and a collar, like the way priests do, but with a summertime seersucker jacket over top. Kind of a bold fashion move. Ross was complimentary.
Reverend, I don't know if I've ever seen a seersucker jacket and a collar all at once.
You like that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's great.
It was great. Very representative of the day. So there was a sense of anticipation and excitement, and I realized that a lot of people there put in a lot of time and effort into making this thing happen. So, for example, the signs that mark the new routes, the poles that hold the route signs up, those are put up a long time ago, but they were covered with these white vinyl bags until just before the new routes went into effect. And it took a massive volunteer effort to remove the bags, and Ross and his family helped to make that happen.
So for the past couple months, they've had these vinyl bags on them, obscuring the wonderful new routes underneath, right? So we went out, we were assigned a route, we were the number one, the southern end of the number one, which is like Hull Street out to the city limits. And we had 29 bus stops, we had like a little step ladder, and my whole family, me, JR, and my wife, Valerie, went and took off the vinyl bags, peeled off the tape and all the new things, and then just made our way down and down and down Hull Street. It was kind of awesome.
So after hanging out for a bit, state and city officials show up, the governor walks out, photo ops happen, and several folks step up to the podium and make some remarks. We're kind of standing off there to the side. And finally, Mayor LeVar Stoney steps up to the podium.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, it's here. The pulse is here, everyone.
After thanking everyone that had a hand in making the day possible, he put things into perspective.
While construction and change is never easy, the Pulse Project, along with the complete redesign of our transit system, represents a new day in the city of Richmond and in our region. Today's launch confirms for all of us, Richmond is a city literally and figuratively on the move. Thank you all so much.
At this point, remember, we still haven't set foot on the Pulse yet, and that was our singular mission. So we head over to the nearby stop and we wait. Now, when you stand on a bus platform with transit guru Ross Catro, you ask him all kinds of transit questions. Like, there's this thing called signal timing, which gives each Pulse bus a special relationship to stoplights.
Yeah, it talks to the actual light, traffic lights, and it knows where it is, and it knows where the lights are, and it can hold the light. Like, if it's close, you know, it's getting there, and it can keep the light green for a little bit.
He went on to explain how that function will get better over time. And the other thing I wanted to know about was these benches they have on the Pulse stops. So it's not flat like a bench, but it's also not vertical like a wall. It's halfway in between at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, so this is like a, I don't know what the, I will call it a leany bench. It's where you can just kind of put your back or your butt if you don't want to sit all the way down. And I was like, oh, hey, are they like trying to save money and keep people from sitting? That's conspiratorial of me. And it turns out that these are actually really good for folks with low mobility, because a lot of times getting from seated to standing is like the most challenging part. So if you can have something like this where you can rest, but you don't have to go all the way to seated, that's great.
About this time, the moment of truth was upon us. Off in the distance, the Pulse bus approached. There were people on the platform with us, and as the bus pulled up, I could see the bus was pretty full. I wasn't sure we were going to make it, and I didn't want Ross to be disappointed.
And so the question is, will we be able to get on this bus?
I hope so. I don't want to be foiled twice.
When the doors opened, it was a wall of people, and we hesitated for a moment. But sure enough, people squeezed together, and they made some space. We crossed the threshold, and we were on. We were riding the Pulse. And Ross was a happy person.
We did it.
Okay, I just got to say, I'm not sure what kind of reaction I was looking for from Ross. Maybe I wanted him to scream or, you know, say something insightful. But I think this little laugh he does was even better. After months of work and advocacy and meeting with people and changing signs with his family, all that comes to life in this small moment of joy. We make our way down to Chaco Bottom, talking to other folks on the bus. Some of them are regulars, learning the ropes of the new system. Others are new, curious about this new amenity in our city. But we're all just people riding the bus, going to a place. Ross and I hop off at Chaco Bottom. I run into the grocery store for some water and an energy bar. Ross already had both in his bag, obviously, because he's an old pro. And we climb a set of stairs behind the grocery store that lead up into Churchill. We sit down on the top of the stairs, and we have a conversation. So what follows is about 5 minutes of that conversation where I just ask him some questions. Why is this a big deal? Like, who cares, Ross?
I mean, ultimately, it's a big deal because people need to get to places, right? People, most at this basic level, public transportation needs to move folks to jobs. It's like it's one of its core uses, right? And Richmond does a really, really bad job of that at the moment because, one, we're super segregated by race and by income. We are very we're segregated from the counties as well due to the system of government we have. The independent city system really constrains the size of Richmond. It's just 62 and a half square miles, which is very, very small. And our public transportation pretty much until very, very recently went to the edge of that 62 square miles and it stopped. So if people need to live where affordable housing is, which is often in the city, but they need to work at these moderately well-paying jobs, which are often in the western part of the county, there's no way to get there unless you own a car. And the car is just an enormous expense for folks. So it's important to do improvements to public transportation, stuff we've disinvested in and underinvested for decades, because people need to get to jobs so they can work and they can do stuff, right? Like, this is just like a basic core thing.
Before we made the change, before today, yeah, how did Richmond's public transit system compare nationally or even internationally?
I mean, honestly, pretty bad. And that is not a knock on GRTC, the transit agency. You have to think of them as a, they're like a supplier, right? You as a locality ask them for bus service and they provide whatever you want. And so again, this, the way our city and state government is set up, where Richmond is confined and calcified at the 62 and a half square miles, it really prevented buses from going where they needed to go. If you look at like Indianapolis, Indianapolis is part of a larger consolidated city county, right? The jurisdiction that contains the city of Indianapolis is probably hundreds of square miles big. And so when their bus service goes to the end of their jurisdiction, it's a long ways away.
So as we think about regionalism, this idea of not just the city, but if the jobs are growing in places that are often in the, out in the counties, how hopeful are you that we'll be able to figure out a regional solution to something like transportation? And can that lead to collaboration in other domains?
Yeah, I think this is, the Pulse is a great example, right? Like, it goes a teensy little bit in Henrico County. They paid a teensy little bit of money for it and for its operation. And I think that kicks off this regional working together. What's the word for that? Regional cooperation. There it is. And I think you see that where Henrico in the fall is going to expand their routes. Their Broad Street bus is going to go out to Short Pump now. Doesn't do that today. They're going to do airport service. Doesn't do that today. Well, it does today, but it didn't until today. And they're going to extend weekend and night hours. And I don't think that stuff would have happened without the Pulse, without the network redesign, without Richmond reinvesting, without the Pulse being this like handshake agreement of friendship between the county, Henrico County, and the city. I don't think this ball would have started rolling, you know? So we have to keep it rolling. We have to do more. But I am pretty hopeful because, especially in Henrico County, they're like ready to play a game on. They're already doing it.
What about Chesterfield?
It's like a different story in Chesterfield. It's a different story. There is momentum in Chesterfield. I think that the folks who live in Chesterfield are passionate and see the need for public transportation, especially along the major corridors. I think Jeff Davis is a corridor with the most need. I think you could easily put a bus on Midlothian and it would make a ton of sense. There's tons of jobs and tons of folks living out there. There is, at the moment, not a ton of political will to move public transportation forward in Chesterfield. But that's advocacy's job, right? Like, we have to, as advocates, convince them that it's what they should be doing as elected officials.
If someone's listening to this and they mostly rely on their automobile to get around, and some folks are like, no, I would never do that. And others are like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'll give it a shot. What would you say to the people that are considering riding the bus more? Why is it a good idea for them to ride the bus?
I love bus community. I think bus community is a great reason to ride. Like, I mean, we just rode the bus packed full of folks and everyone was super kind, right? Everyone was nice. We had chats with the folks on the bus. I think it's a wonderful way to kind of break down some of the segregation that we've had in the city for 400, 500 years and to make yourself part of the community. Like, the bus is the communal gathering place. everyone's going to a place, right? These bus lines cut across neighborhoods that have been segregated for a long, long time. And it's a great way to be a part of your city. That's an emotional reason to ride the bus, Blaine. A practical reason is you can just sit there and look out the window into the middle distance if you want. You can listen to a podcast. You can text. You can do your work. You can do your homework. Whatever. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do on the bus instead of having to pay attention while driving a car, right? Listen, cars are stressful. Driving in a car is stressful. Sitting in traffic, you know. Sitting in traffic's awful.
I do know.
Yeah, you can drink a beer and then get on the bus.
You can, in fact, do that. That's a thing you can do. In short, we made a lot of progress today, but there's still work to be done. From there, Ross and I ride back into downtown, and we go our separate ways. But in the closing moments here of this episode, there are two ideas that I want to close with. The first one, you should try it. Okay, so I'm not on Ross's level in terms of being a regular bus rider. I drive a lot, mostly because it's easy and it's the only thing I've ever really done. It's the only thing I know. But I've been trying to figure it out. I've been riding the bus to work some days. I just figured out how to use those bus racks on the front. It's a little bit intimidating at first, but once you do it, you're like, oh, I got it. And I realized that I can check my work email on the bus and actually work while I'm commuting. Yes, mind blower, right? But it's also a great way to get to know your city and the people who live here. And that's important. So that's idea number one. You should try it. Give it a shot. And the second thought that I have is a little bit more complicated. I will call it institutional collaboration. Big word. So there's a big story here that I don't think has gotten enough airtime, and that's the way that some of our biggest institutions here in Richmond have gotten involved for the common good. And Richmond is a place where that hasn't always been the case. There have been times in our history where institutions have gotten together, but the outcomes have not been great. But in this case, VCU Health and Bon Secours looked at the Pulse Project, and they said, this is a good thing, we should get involved. And they did. So together, VCU Health and Bon Secours will contribute $6.4 million to the Pulse over the next 15 years. Those are two big health systems that you'd think would want to compete with each other, but no, they are working together. It's like Batman and Superman teaming up, and it's an investment in our community. And since I talked to Ross, VCU announced that they're going to pilot a program providing unlimited bus access to all VCU students, faculty, and staff. So that means more riders from VCU, and because GRTC receives state and federal funding based on the number of riders, more riders from VCU, that can mean even more funding for transportation and for transportation improvements. The point is that it matters when some of our biggest institutions decide to collaborate rather than just coexist. When they put their weight behind something collectively, that will improve the quality of life across our region. Everybody wins. And good things like this are happening, and we need more of it. We need to look for creative ways to encourage institutional collaboration. And look, I'm not naive. We've got a lot of issues that we need to figure out in the Richmond region, but we should celebrate a good thing when it happens. Because if we don't have the eyes to recognize something good, then how can we ever sustain the hope required to build a Richmond where everyone can thrive? This episode of Two People was brought to you by Village Bank, where they understand their responsibility as a local institution to the people that live here. So any banking need you may have, Village Bank, they've got you covered, because at Village Bank, they know that you're a neighbor, not a number. The music on this episode and the music you're hearing right now is by Brunswick. Special thanks to John Holy for making good music right here in Richmond, Virginia. Brunswick has an album out now called 5 Years, which you should go pay American money for. As always, special shout out to our producer, Chris Payne. Chris is that feeling of accomplishment you get when you actually remember it's recycling day. We're going to be taking a break for a little while from making new shows because rest is good. But in the meantime, that'll give you some time to give the bus a shot. I actually had the chance to meet Ross's son during our little bus adventure.
My son JR is like an old-time pro bus rider.
And if you've never been on the bus, JR has a tip.
Just Go with it. Okay, don't worry about anything. It's easy.
I'm Blaine Lay. You've been listening to Two People. Thanks for listening. Ha ha ha.